This week would have been the 98th birthday of Edith Pargeter, an English writer who translated many of the Czech classics. You may well have come across her under the pen name Alice Peters that she adopted for much of her fiction. Under this alias, she created two of the most famous fictional detectives in 20th century crime writing, Sergeant George Fels and the medieval monastic sleuth Brother Catfell. In Czech Books this week, David Vaughan explores Edith Pargeter's special relationship to Czechoslovakia.
Edith Pargeter spent nearly all her life in the county of Shropshire, on the borders between England and Wales, and much of her writing draws from the area she lived in. But her other great love was Czechoslovakia, and this led to a fruitful literary relationship that lasted nearly 50 years. Here are a few lines from her translation of Bohumil Hrabal's classic short novel of reluctant wartime heroism, Closely Observed Trains. The scene is a small Czech town just before the end of the Second World War, and a German plane has just been shot down.
The wing itself went on hovering over the town, and everybody who could stood and watched it, right to the moment when it swooped lower with a creaky motion just above the square. All the customers came tumbling out from both the restaurants as the shadow of this wing hung rocking above the square, and everybody who was watching it went rushing across from one side to the other and then back again to where they'd been standing a minute before, because the wing kept on swinging like a gigantic pendulum, sending them all scuttling in the opposite direction from where it looked as if it was going to fall, and all the time it was grinding out a crescendo clatter and a whining song, and then suddenly it hurtled down and crashed into the deanery garden.
It took considerable craft and ingenuity to recreate Hrabal's brilliant and inventive prose in English, and Edith Pargeter showed similar mastery with many other Czech writers, both past and present. She first visited Czechoslovakia just after the Second World War, and this was when she met Jiří Edelman, a young Czech who was to remain a close friend for the rest of her life. He remembers her first visit.
It was in 1947 when there came a group of English people to Czechoslovakia. It was something what they called summer school. I think it was organized by Workers' Education Association, and some Czech people joined this party to be companions to these English people. And at that time I was visiting some courses of English, and I've heard about this possibility. Before Edith left, she visited also my family for, let us say, half a day. And when she left, we started corresponding. She was very much interested in everything. And she was asking me more and more questions to tell her how it was during the war, what we were doing, how the things were here, and so on.
And it was actually at that time when she came in 1947, which was just between the end of the war and the communist takeover. So there was a degree of openness, wasn't there, in Czechoslovak society?
Very much so, because that was the last time of open society here, or how to call it.
The outcome of that visit and Edith Pargeter's subsequent correspondence with Jiří was the novel The Fair Young Phoenix, in which the phoenix was Czechoslovakia itself, emerging from the ashes after being abandoned by its allies at Munich in 1938 and then occupied by Nazi Germany. It opens with a poem dedicated to the Czechoslovak Republic, which in its final couplet describes Czechoslovakia as a fair young phoenix rising out of the pyre, having the mocking eyes of his murdered sire. Edith Pargeter's love of Czechoslovakia went back to the time of the war itself, when she served in the Women's Royal Naval Service, the Wrens.
It was something like, I think, Navy headquarters in Liverpool, and I think that she has, let's call it, fallen in love with a Czech, I think it was either Air Force man or soldier, who didn't come back from the war, and she didn't speak very openly about this, but I know that she wanted very much to come over here and to find what's actually Czechoslovakia and what are the people like.
So it is no surprise that Edith Pargeter followed up her first visit to Prague in 1947 by coming again a year later, this time for a full 3 months. The trip was organized by Jiří Edelman and his father and included a stay in Slovakia. The outcome was a second book, The Coast of Bohemia, describing her impressions of traveling through Czechoslovakia. This was 1948, and by this time the communists had come to power.
After her stay, she always thought I would be able to come over to see England, but that wasn't possible. The things have changed rapidly, and she also wasn't able to come over because in those days it was very difficult to get visas. At that time she started to learn Czech and to find out more about the books that she has seen in our households. And so it came that she started translating some of the classical Czech literature.
The fact that Edith Pargeter was able to go on to publish so many Czech writers in English owes much to a lucky coincidence.
At that time she was publishing at Heinemann's, and there she found that the managing director was somebody called John Beer. And it was again a Czech who came to England with the Jewish children before the war. And John Beer helped her to publish the Neruda book. So this is again how the Czechs come into the story.
The Neruda book that Jiří Edelman is referring to is the 19th century classic Tales of the Little Quarter by Jan Neruda, who has often been described as the Czech Dickens. The stories evoke the atmosphere of life in Prague's ancient streets in the first half of the 19th century. Here are a few lines from Edith Pargeter's translation of the story, A Week in the Quiet House.
The morning sunshine of June had been lighting up the courtyard of the house for some time before the inhabitants awakened. In spite of the din of the traffic which penetrated to the court through the passage and over the roofs from the street, the first footsteps still resounded as loudly as in a vault. Singly, as though one waited for another to depart, women folk went out from the various flats, with hair dishevelled and still uncombed, or with shawls low on their foreheads to shield their sleepy eyes from the sun. There were not many of them. They all appeared to be rather sluttish maidservants. Their clothes were not even properly put on. Down-at-heel shoes dragged at their feet. In their hands they carried jugs, either empty or filled with milk.
From Jan Neruda, Edith Pargeter went on to translate other 19th-century classics, and her translations of The Grandmother by Božena Němcová and the great romantic poem May by Karel Hynek Mácha went on to become classics in themselves. Her translation of May manages to preserve both the rhythms and the rhyme scheme of the original, and has an unusually natural flow for a poetry translation, as we see in these few lines from the opening section of the poem.
In shadowy woods, the burnished lake darkly complained a secret pain. By circling, shores embraced again, and heaven's clear sun leaned down to take a road astray in azure deeps. Like burning tears, the lover weeps.
As we heard with the extract from Bohumil Hrabal at the beginning of this program, Edith Pargeter also translated 20th century writers. They included Ivan Klima, Ladislav Vančura, and the poet Jaroslav Seifert. During the Prague Spring of 1968, she was awarded with the Gold Medal of the Czechoslovak Society for International Relations for her services to Czech literature. But after the Soviet invasion, things became much more difficult. As she put it, I was continually walking a tightrope in order to avoid harming people I only wanted to serve. In the meantime, Edith Pargeter's parallel career as a world-renowned detective writer, under the pen name Ellis Peters, was booming. Before long, her most famous characters, the monastic sleuth Brother Cadfael and Sergeant George Fels also became known to Czech readers. Here to Edelman again.
These stories get translated and they were quite loved by many people. And in those days when Edith started this Katfeld stories, she was very much, I would say, living in this history, because she had to do quite a lot of studies, and she did enjoy her great success. But she all the time was living very, very, I would say, modestly. Only thing that she has changed was her new house, because in the old house she couldn't live anymore because she had a fall and has damaged her spine. So she moved to a more comfortable house, and there she lived. We spoke about it because in those days I was already more often able to visit her. We spoke how to name this house, and I've been telling her to name it Katfeld House, but she refused that because she thought that too many people would be coming and she wouldn't have peace for her further work. So she named her house Troja. That was because I'm living in a part of the town that's called Troja.
That's actually where we're sitting and talking now.
Yeah, and she thought that I would be feeling there like at home. Actually, there is another quite interesting thing, at least for me. When she changed her name from Edith Paget to Alice Peters, so she has shown this name just to show that is another period of her work, and she has chosen this name because her brother was Alice, so that was the Alice, and Peters was because my daughter is Petra.
And so your families really have been very close.
Very much so, because later when it was possible, so she used to come perhaps twice per year, and always once with her brother who was driving their car through the Europe. They came over here and stayed with us. Actually, it influenced all my life and the life of all my family. Actually, my granddaughter is called Edith, just to remember that Edith was something like an auntie to our children.
Edith Pargeter died in 1995. She would have been 98 this Wednesday, the 28th of September, aptly enough, on the feast of St. Wenceslas.